A skillful sailor can sail what needs to be sailed. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you instant inspiration. A skillful sailor can sail what needs to be sailed. Now, why can a skillful sailor sail what needs to be sailed?
Because he's skillful.
The audience has just reported to me, a skillful sailor can sail what anything needs to be sailed because he's skillful. I mean, that is excellent. Now, think of this. You should cough like that, yeah, I tell you. A skillful sailor is what?
Self-confident.
He's self-confident. He believes in himself. You got to give a little clues here. He believes in himself. And what happens when he believes in himself?
Can do anything.
He can do anything, right. Okay, now. How does a skillful sailor get to be skillful? And let's word that also. How does anybody get to be skillful at anything? Does anyone have the answer on top?
Because they like themselves.
Mm-hmm.
By practicing?
Mm-hmm.
By believing in themselves?
Yeah, closer. Uh-huh. Practicing.
By having interest in something.
Yeah, that helps. Oh, come on, Heinz. How about affirmations? What were you going to say?
They know that they can.
And that's an affirmation. He says, I know that I can do this, and he does it. Now, whenever I've taken a few phrases here from another writer, whenever a skillful sailor is faced with a boat to sail, and he may not have a mainmast, but he may have the sail, what he does, he lowers the sail. There's nothing to raise the sail on because he doesn't have the main mast. But he takes the sail and stands there and holds it up and lets the wind blow him along. And he twists the sail so that it'll go where he wants it to go. Now, have any of you ever heard of slipping in the wind?
Yeah.
Well, we use slip in the wind as you fly an airplane, too. Mm-hmm. You slide it sideways so that you can come in where you want to come in. And then just before you get to the ground, 5, 10, 15 feet, you adjust yourself straight so that you run straight down the runway. Otherwise, you break off your legs of your aircraft. So a skillful sailor, he knows just how to slip his sail in such a way that it will cause the boat to go even against the wind, which is an amazing thing. And I've done it. And it's a very practical thing to be able to know how to do. Now, when I first was told to do that, I thought, how do you do that? We were coming back into harbor in Newport Beach, bringing the 20-foot sloop in, and the guy I was with had enjoyed the ride very thoroughly, and he had had many beers, and he wasn't in a condition to tell me how to do things. In fact, he wasn't in a condition to tell anybody how to do it. He was just laying there relaxed, and so I had to figure it out, and I hadn't worked against the wind for many, many, many years since I was a kid at Eagle Springs Lake. And there it was, if you didn't make it work, you just jumped in and swam ashore and pulled the boat with you. But this was in the ocean. And we were coming into the channel. And you had to stay in your own lane and you had to be careful you didn't run into somebody else. Even if it was a sailboat has a right of way, you still aren't supposed to purposely run into people, you know. So I worked on that. And as I worked on that, I figured I would slip the boat in, and I would do this here, and I'd do that, and it worked. I just, trial and error. There's nobody to tell me I was doing it wrong or right. So I just trial and errored it. And I said, I know I can do it. I know I can do it. I know I can do it. And I did it. And when I'd gone sailing with him two or three times, and he said after the third time, he said, you sail very well. I had a little book in my pocket that I carried with me, how to sail, you know. And he said, you sail very well. I said, thank you. He said, there's an extra set of sails in my car there. We'll put it in your car. You can come use the boat anytime you want and go sailing. I said, hey, that's cool. So I decided I would learn how to sail when I first went with him. So I bought this little book, you know, in the paperback store. It was all well illustrated and so forth, and it cost me about $1.50. And I studied it and studied it. And so when I went out with him, I looked so professional, you know, you wear the right togs and you look professional. So I learned that when you speak your affirmations, wonderful things happen. The moment you say affirmations, you're stepping out of the victim role. The victim role is one who says, I have no idea what to do. I don't know what to do. How do you do it? Which way should I turn? And you see, you're a victim. And you'll never find the answer. But when you start using affirmations, I know that I know that I know, like Heinz said here, then you're getting out of the victim's role. And that's wonderful. You're no longer helpless. You are acknowledging your own power. That's a good statement. Mm-hmm. You're no longer helpless. You are acknowledging your own power. I can do it. I know that I know that I know. And somehow you do it. Somehow it comes to you how to do it. And then people say, I'm on the next step to my healing. An affirmation is a beginning point. It opens the way. You are saying to your subconscious mind, I am taking responsibility. I am aware there is something I can do to change the conditions. Your subconscious mind is listening to you. If you continue to say the affirmation, either you will be ready to let go of whatever it is, and the affirmation will become true, or it will open a new avenue to you. You may get a brilliant brainstorm, or a friend may call you and say, have you ever tried this? You will be led to the next step that will help you with your healing. And those are very beautiful things, very beautiful concepts. Louise Hay wrote those things. And that's the sort of thing that we can apply in our life very readily. We can apply that in our life very readily, because when you believe in yourself, miracles happen. When you believe in yourself, doors open that you never knew were going to open. And that's pretty wonderful. That's pretty wonderful, because then, like he says here, a friend might call and say, have you tried this? Or you. Let's go to Mark, my son, who is going to be 50 on November 1st. And I happy birthday, Mark, if you listen to this. Mark is building all sorts of things, airplanes, engines, what have you. Well, he has a lot of books. And in the books are many of the answers that he needs. Well, he hasn't memorized the books. He's never taken engineering courses, but he knows all about engineering. He will think to himself, let's see now, I need to know about this. And so he thinks about it and he says, I know that I know that I know. Maybe he doesn't say it that clearly. And then he goes over to the bookcase and pulls out a book and opens it. What does he open it to?
The right place.
The solution. He opens it where it explains exactly or close to what he's working on. And he's able to extrapolate from what he has heard, what he has read, to what his need is, and have the right answer be revealed to him. Now, anyone can do this. There's a lot of people who say, when you have a problem, just take anything, the daily newspaper, a book, anything. Open it up, put your finger in some blind place, then read it, and that's the answer you wanted. Now, how does that work? Ellen, how does that work? This dowsing. How does dowsing work, Ellen?
Well, the divine within me guides me.
You have this fork stick that's trying to help you find water. Now, how does it help you?
It just, when I let go and let my intellect not bother.
Then your divine connects with the idea of the water and the stick points right down to it, and it does. These guys who are good dowsers, they're the ones who have tuned right in and can listen to their heart and follow it and let the stick go. And they look at some place very unlikely for water, and they say, this is it. Well, not can't be there. They tell you all the reasons that it can't be there. He said, you pay me now. This is it. And so then they drill, and a mother load of water comes out. A fantastic waterfall comes out of it. Wonderful. But if they wouldn't follow him, they would never know it, and they'd never enjoy it. A skillful sailor can sail what needs to be sailed because he applies whatever he is to whatever the circumstances are. Now, do you think a skillful sailor could build a boat? Why not? Could a skillful sailor repair an engine? Why not? Look at Danny here. He hasn't had all the training and education to understand how cars operate and how the mechanism works and how the tolerances are this and that and the other thing. He just looks at the book, and the book says, this is what you need to do, and he does it, and it works, right? And sometimes not even looking at the book. He took his brother's new car. He took Mark's old car, which is his brother's new car, and he's working on the engine. Have you finished it yet? You're working on it.
We're not working on that one now.
Oh, not that. You had another one first.
I did. His, remember his Honda car?
No.
No, I put the transmission and everything in it.
Great. But now...
But his is going now. The Geo is blown up. They went got a motor, and that one ended up being seized.
The Geo blew up, and they got a motor.
And they went to put it back in, and it was already seized up. They bought it from the junkyard.
Oh, the motor was seized. So they bought an improper motor.
They bought a used motor from the junkyard.
Yeah.
And that one was locked up. So they took it back.
Their consciousness wasn't too high.
So
they
now
took back.
It's sitting there with no motor, and I'm not sure exactly what. I think either he's going to give my brother the choice of getting a motor for it, or he's going to get something like that.
Yeah, right, right. It'll work out in perfect order.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you just follow your heart. Now, why don't they put this one with the seized motor in there and just redo the motor? Rebore the motor and rebore the rings and bearings and stuff. Well, the thing is, the amount of cost that they'd have in that, they could buy a brand new motor, which would be far superior. This is why you have to be careful. Even when it's your own labor and when it's your own time and your own effort, it's still not practical sometimes to do things like that. In fact, we had a tractor here, and it was a great tractor. And Heinz bought that tractor way back when, 20-some years ago, remember? And it ran just beautiful.
Yeah.
And still did run beautiful. But the transmission went out on it. Not the transmission, the inter... What's that down below there in the back?
The gearbox.
The gearbox. And to replace the gearbox was such an expensive proposition that it wasn't worth continuing with it. We would have to pay a couple of $1,000 or more and just for the box, and then to put it in. And I thought, well, Mark can use his mechanical skill to take care of that. Well, even Mark, with his mechanical skill and the work they did, could not do the things that had to be done. They had to buy out some of the parts.
But that's the one that's out there?
That's the one that's out there, right. And so you were working on that too?
They got it going and everything, but it's still sitting there.
Yeah, but it does. It did run. The tractor engine
moves and everything now.
Oh yeah, the tractor ran and did everything. It's just that transmission thing had to be fixed up.
Yep.
Well, now why isn't it fixed?
Because
they don't want to. The moment they have a great need for that, they'll have that thing fixed real quick in a hurry. And you know, it's just like here. We had the fire come in the area, bouncing from hilltop to hilltop to hilltop, and then it stayed around here for a little while. And Stefan had been saying, all is in divine order, all is in divine order, all is in divine order. And then the firemen were working on it and putting it out until Stefan came to the point where he had to say, it is done. It is done. I'm done with this. I'm tired of this. You see, what Stefan and Irene did was they stood outside the building here or inside and watched the fire burn. And saw it burn, looked over here to see it burning, looked over here to see it burning. What they should have done was just go to bed and let happen what will. But know that all is in divine order and leave it alone. But the more you look out there, the more you see how fascinating it is. Oh my, look at how it's burning this and how it's doing that. And there was a big old dead tree right down here on the property line, and it caught fire. And it was a chimney inside, you know. And it was burning high into the sky because, you know, this dry and old and so forth. And Stefan says it was so beautiful. You don't talk like that about something you don't want. You don't embellish it, and you don't encourage it, and you don't speak kindly about it, and you don't speak unkindly about it. You just say, it is done. It is done. And we were working on the golf cart, and... the golf cart started fire in the, what was that, the coil system, and underneath the seat. And Daniel says, oh, look at that, it's on fire. So we pulled up the seat, and sure enough, there was fire all around. It's coming up from there. I thought, my goodness sakes, what is all this? And so I said, what should we do? And Daniel said, don't panic. just grab some dirt and throw it on it. And so he ran over and grabbed some. He said, you hold the seat up, as I was holding the seat up over the fire, you know. And
of course,
so
the seat comes off. We didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't do that immediately. So he put the dirt on there, and it didn't work. No. And he put the dirt on again. It didn't work. And then he put the dirt on again. It didn't work. And finally, he found a place where he disconnected the power by clicking something.
The solenoid. Something.
The solenoid.
Because there was a coil under that stayed red hot no matter what. So yeah. The fire wasn't going to go out no matter what you did to it.
Yeah, right. It would just keep getting hot.
Because it was just.
And so he knew the right thing to do without having the slightest idea what to do, you know. But he just knew that he had to make it disconnect.
Smart guy.
And he did it. But you see, he is a skillful sailor who can sail what needs to be sailed. He is a skillful mechanic who can do whatever needs to be done. He's a skillful human being who can do whatever needs to be done. Now, Heinz, should I talk about you for a while? But you see, this is what the story is all about. This is a story of speaking your affirmations, claiming the truth about yourself, and using the genius that's within you, because it's all within you. It's all within you. And we're going to be having some pretty heavy and beautiful discussions on this during our seminars, because these are topics that Ellen is bringing up, and Ellen keeps talking about, and so I just can't leave it go unattended. So we'll have a lot of fun. Just remember that you can be a skillful sailor and you can sail anything. You can be a skillful mechanic and you can fix anything. You can be a skillful human being and have the most beautiful, rewarding, fulfilled life on the face of the earth. It all depends on what you believe. As I talked to a young man last night, I said to him, stop it. Stop empowering the problem. And he said, but you don't understand. I got to tell you about the problem. I said, stop it. Stop empowering the problem. And blah, 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 I got to tell you. I am not interested in your problem. Here's the solution. See yourself surrounded by every wonderful, beautiful circumstance. And you're surrounded by beautiful people. You're surrounded by beautiful women who just love you. You can see that. And so this morning, he called back early, before 9 o'clock. He called back and he said, what you told me to do, it worked. Mm-hmm. And I said, great. And so then he had to go and explain what worked. And I said, okay. But that's not what you want. You don't want somebody else in the world to like you. If you have the audacity to think that somebody else in the world likes you, you're foolish. Because somebody else in the world can dislike you too. So what you do is to say you like yourself. And you create everybody in your world beautiful and good and wonderful. And when you do that, then, and only then, will you have a wonderful world to live in. But when you need someone to tell you you're wonderful, that same person or others can say you're not wonderful and make you feel just as bad as they made you feel good. You are the master, always speaking your word about yourself, always speaking your word of truth about what it is that is important in your world, and then so it is. A skillful sailor can sail what needs to be sailed. Are you guys skillful sailors? I think you are. I think you're smarter than the average pussycat. I love you. I love you. I love you.